Check 6 London Landmarks. I'm sure we're all familiar with the great love story which was the marriage of Queen Victoria and Albert, her prince consort, and of how devastated she was by his death. So listen now to Jolie Richardson describing the monument which Victoria had built to commemorate her beloved husband.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so.
Hello, I'm Jolie Richardson, and I wanted to talk about the Albert Memorial, which is a statue that I walk past almost every day when I'm in London, and which I truly love. And I'm not sure when I first came across the Albert Memorial, or at what point that I asked what it was in honour of, and was told that it was commissioned by Queen Victoria after the death of her beloved husband, and that it was a memorial to their love. Its beauty is what first caught my attention, and its individuality. From afar, it looks like a church spire, and then on closer view, there's Albert seated beneath the awning in quiet repose. His figure is sturdy and relaxed, as if in reflection, he looks noble and yet strong. He's all golden, either gold leaf or paint, which some people find too much, but I love, because as a result, depending on what type of day it is and the light, his figure glows, bringing it to life. And I noticed the other day that often pigeons sit on the figures surrounding him, and their movement also activates the memorial into a sort of gentle animation. I also love the choice of inscription. Queen Victoria and her people, to the memory of Albert Prince Consort, as a tribute of their gratitude for a life devoted to the public good. His loves and her love combined. One feels very calm gazing upon it, and also transported. Given that the spire has Albert's seat at its foundation, it simultaneously grounds you with its enormous weight and elevates your spirit skyward. Albert faces the Royal Albert Hall, a historic venue of arts and music, also built after his untimely death of typhoid in 1861. The memorial itself was designed by Gilbert Scott, and the sculptors, John Foley and Thomas Brock, clothed Albert in robes of the Knights of the Garter. He's seated on a simple ottoman, his left leg slightly cocked, implying action as well as reflection. He holds a catalogue of the great exhibition of works and industries of all nations in his right hand. The exhibition was to show Great Britain as an industrial leader, as well as to honour other nations, and Albert helped bring it to fruition. During his 21 years as royal consort, Albert tried to improve the life of London's citizens, promoting better accommodation, sanitation, and social virtues. He lived just long enough to see the building of the V&A, later followed by the Natural History Museum, the Royal College of Music, and the construction of the first mansion flats in London to help with the overcrowding. When Albert died, there was a genuine outpouring of grief from the nation as a whole, and there was much debate as to what would be a fitting monument. The Queen declared, "A memorial in the common sense of the word." Albert was officially seated in 1875, 14 years after his death. The monument itself is enclosed by a set of red and gold painted railings of a foliage design. The gates form a square with steps on each side leading up to the memorial itself, and on each corner at ground level are allegorical sculptures of the four continents. Each continent is represented by figures and an animal: Africa, a camel; Asia, an elephant; America, the bull; and Europe, encompassing Britannia riding a cow, France holding a sword, Germany a book, and Italy awakening as if from a dream. Basically, the world stage. On this, sits the frieze of Parnassus, a celebration of arts and sciences, 169 figures in white marble depicting composers, poets, sculptors, and architects. Then you reach the actual foot of the pedestal, and the corners are marked by sculptors of commerce, agriculture, manufacturing, and engineering. These figures are vibrant and muscular, and it's upon these that the pigeons often gather, encircling and bringing the whole sculpture to life. Four main pillars then support the Gothic pavilion under which Albert is seated. Above his head, the protective ceiling is painted a pale sky blue with golden stars punctuating the sky. The Tudor rose is set as its centre. The tower rises from its foot to its head at 176 feet, covered in beautiful Italian mosaics, mostly of earthen colours, and decorated by semi-precious stones, including onyx, agate, jasper, and cornelian. The muses of astronomy, geology, chemistry, and geography, and also standing guard on the four pillars. Rhetoric, medicine, philosophy, and physiology are hidden in its niches. The higher up the eye travels, the more intense the gold becomes as it moves towards spiritual aspirations. Eight statuesque female figures stand there representing the Christian values of hope, faith, charity, humility, fortitude, prudence, justice, and temperance. The spire and pavilion themselves are not unlike a crown towering up in layers to the sky. And right towards the top, guided by angels, arms outstretched, almost singing to the heavens, is where you reach the pinnacle at which sits a golden cross. The Albert Memorial is truly beautiful, and in my opinion, one of the greatest memorials to love and strangely life itself.
They certainly did things in style, those Victorians, didn't they?